Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
Hold on.
Better now.
I'm realizing I should have cracked that beer 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, you know, we've been we had probably one of our longer pre-show like catch-up chats, and the last 5 minutes of it were quite a roller coaster of experience for you.
Yeah.
So I'm doing well. I leave. I will be on an airplane. I think. What time is it?
8:30.
Yeah. So I'll be in an airplane in, what is that? Just a few hours.
Like 9 hours. You'll be on an airplane in 9 hours. Yes. I can do the math for you real quick on that one.
Doing pretty well because I'm going to go skiing at Alta tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
Is like my favorite place in the world. Alta is my favorite mountain. I haven't been to them all, obviously. But of the mountains I have been to, which is more than a few, Alta is my favorite.
And it sounds really, really great.
It's, you know, it's a really big place. Alta is a big place. It's
a mountain, so.
Sure. Makes sense. It is on the same property as Snowbird. So it's actually, people say Alta Snowbird. But Alta is the ski-only side. So it's just skiers.
We don't want those snowboarders, hoodlums, the riffraff.
No criminals. But it's just beautiful. It's average age of like older than me, probably. It's just an old people mountain. And I just love it because I'm an old person now.
You know what that means, though? That means that it's being really well-groomed, really high level of service.
I mean, it's groomed. It's groomed. Yeah, it's good.
And for me, like to imagine some place where that's where the old people go, they can go anywhere and that's where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And that means that things are being done to keep them comfortable.
It is. I mean, and it's not just old people, right? There's young people there too, but it is definitely an older crowd than most places I've been to. So there's a lot of money up there too. The canyon. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know. It's kind of like a whirlwind of a weekend that was like birthday parties and classes. And yeah, it was sort of all go, no stop. And finally I'm stopping and I'm just like reeling a little bit from the activities.
Have a beer.
I'm gonna enjoy it too.
Have a beer.
So yeah, I'm good. I'm just kind of coming down off of a busy couple days, and it's not busy with stuff I want to be doing. I hate kids' birthday parties. I hate sitting in the uncomfortable chairs or bleachers or stands adjacent to kids' practices.
You're a bit of a Grinch.
A little bit. But that's not my idea of fun. It's just not fun at all. I did watch. I saw today that IndyCar and NASCAR had back-to-back races. And IndyCar was racing in St. Petersburg. And NASCAR was racing at Circuit of the Americas in Austin. So that kind of played.
Like in Florida or Russia?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
And man, IndyCar is a lot of fun to watch. I also learned that they have a race on their tour in Portland. So in August.
PIR?
Yeah, PIR, yeah. So in August, we're going to go watch an IndyCar race.
Nice.
Which I think will be really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather's in the Portland International Raceway Hall of Fame.
For what?
He was like sort of an early pioneer of IndyCar and stock car in the United States.
How about that?
And he was a pinstriper. He was a NASCAR pinstriper until early 80s.
You should come, you and the boys should come with me and Mark to go watch IndyCar PIR.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. But in any event, we're not here to talk about racing or anything else. I don't remember what I talked about. Oh, snow, ski mountains. We're here to talk about watches, Andrew, and I think we're going to. I think that is the plan.
I'm open to it.
Well, why don't you start, then?
I think I shall. I am going to start with, a fun one from Studio Underdog. So Studio Underdog and Time and Tide have done 2 collaborations up to this point. 3? A couple collaborations. This newest one is pizzas. Cheese and a burnt pepperoni.
The new pizzas.
Yeah.
Is this an annual release at this point?
I don't know. Is it?
I know they did one, a set last year.
They did one in 2024. I don't know, a handful. So these are pizza variety. The cheese pizza is very subtle, right? As you would expect a cheese pizza to be. When you're told it's supposed to be a cheese pizza, you can fully accept it for that.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's a really lovely gold and red sunbursty colorway. But the pepperoni pizza, the burnt pepperonis, have also mushrooms and what look like basil leaves on it.
Did you say basil?
Yeah, because it's more fun.
Okay.
I know it's pronounced basil.
Hey, you do.
But I
you.
Like basil leaves.
You do you.
And it's Studio Underdog, right? So it's watches that we're really familiar with, that we love, ST Movement. And these are coming in at, they first became available in New York on February 26th. They'll be available in Australia on March 5th. And they'll be available on March 7th at the British Watchmakers Day event. So I imagine at British Watchmakers Day, they'll have another snaking queue in front of the Studio Underdog booth for people to wait in line for their...
You think these watches pull a line? I don't think these are line, standing in line watches.
Do you really?
I don't.
I wouldn't have thought the Manhattan would be either.
I think that because of the Fierce collaboration, and I think that's more of a standing in line watch. No, these are fine. You know, Andrew,
The burnt pepperoni also is a PVD coated case. I forgot to mention that.
That's true. And it comes with a PVD bracelet if you're so inclined. You know how sometimes people say, I'm so tired of the Swatch releases? And then I say, oh, come on. You know,
more is more.
More is more. I feel I may be a touch burnt out.
Oh, you're there now, huh?
I'm maybe a touch burned out on these releases. They're fun, and I still feel that way. More is more. With that said, I am maybe just a touch. I saw these, and I was like, yeah, right. You know?
Oh, I was looking through my links for a Swatch release.
No.
I was like, I don't remember you sending me one.
No. I mean with the Studio Underdog releases.
Yeah, but you know what? I think in the way of a collaboration watch... It's very much like Swatch. It's such a colorful platform already that to add a new colorway, just to make a couple little tweaks, it's a perfectly customizable platform to do something a little bit different and not be out of the ordinary. And because he's working with so many colors and so many materials all in that ilk, it's an easy collaboration to have happen. And to say that you've collaborated with Studio Underdog is a really cool thing to be able to say.
Totally.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm played out on the hype that comes along with them. These feel kind of more to me closer to like a Red Bar collaboration where it's like the people in the crew deserve to be excited about it. And if you like it, you like it. But hype around it kind of seems like, well,
yeah, I mean, I'm not seeing any hype over these. I mean, maybe some, but I think if you want a pizza watch, you get these.
I mean, I love pizza and I love watches.
You make a pretty good point.
The only way he could make this better is if he had some sort of like liquid chamber in there that would allow you to, like, as you turned your watch, fill a beer pint mm-hmm. that was also on the dial. Mm-hmm. And then as you turned it back, it would disappear and empty, because then you could have a pizza and beer watch. Yeah. And then that watch is for me.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Yeah.
No, I like him. I'm not upset with him, but I also saw him and was just a little like,
I like him. I think the pepperoni is really fun. I like pepperoni and fun. Mushrooms and peppers and basil on your dial.
Yeah. No, it's fun and it's a good, yeah.
What's on your sock? It looks like a child got at it with a marker.
Oh, you know, I think it's a sailboat theme. I'm not sure. I don't know. It is. It's like a island.
Oh, it's a beach theme. Okay. It's a
beach theme.
On this side, it looks like my six-year-old got a hold of your sock and a blue marker.
You know what? Let's just come out swinging, brother. Let's do it.
Did you see the Vince McMahon crash video and subsequent stop?
Yeah.
That guy is not the Vince McMahon I remember.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's getting old and, you know, I think there's a lot of drugs.
Oh, yeah.
IWC, the International Watch Company, has released a, have we decided, is it Portugieser? Portugieser?
I don't know.
Portugieser. Chronograph in Ceritanium.
You know, the thing this year, and really the last 6 months, has been stone dials, which I'm tired of.
We've got some stone dial tonight.
I'm tired of them. And weird metals. What is this and why?
So Ceritanium is a specific titanium alloy that has a composition that when baked, when heated to a high degree, carbonizes the outer layer to a ceramic-like material.
So it burns.
It burns it into ceramic, essentially. So what you get is the hardness properties of ceramic without the brittleness. You get titanium, which is flexible and not brittle, with ceramic hardness. Now, that's the story they're telling us. I don't know how much of that is true. How close is this finish to, I don't know. And so if you're a metallurgist and you have feelings on these, you could let us know. But it is, yeah, it's a phase transition of the underlying metal, as opposed to they say it forms a ceramic crust.
I mean, I've burnt the shit out of aluminum trays, and it it forms a pretty strong crust.
That is polymerized oil, which is a little bit different.
No, the outside. I'm like, left the grill on and left the tray on the grill, and gets interesting.
Well, in any event, this is a black titanium watch that is
blackened, I think, as opposed to black titanium.
Metal is black. The dial is black. The writing on the dial is black. The subdials are black. The movement is black. The sapphire on the back of the watch is smoked so that it's black. And the strap is, unsurprisingly,
black.
Black, yes. Which I'm typically not a huge fan of Murdered Out. And in fact, if you told me what this watch was, if you described this watch to me, I would say not interested. Pass, move on.
Your description of it was fitting.
But then I saw this thing and I was like, yeah, no. So this is a IWC chronograph, which has their by Compax at 12 and 6. Definitely like a Top Gun type layout. And man, I like it. I really, really like this. Now it's $12,000, I think. So
it's $14,000.
You're right, 14.6. Yeah. And it's limited to 1,600 pieces, 1,500 pieces. So, I don't like it that much. I mean, I don't like any watch that much. But supposedly Ed Sheeran wore this.
I want the one that he wore.
Which is kind of fun. No, it's cool, man. This is really, really, really cool.
It is a neat metal application for sure, but in the way of a watch, like, I don't know. The whole point of a watch like this is to be highly legible. And this is not. This to me, this murdered out black on black on black, and these like even the tones of black that are used in the dial feels like Nixon to me.
It does have a Nixon vibe to it. You're not wrong. I still like it. I thought we agreed at some point in the show a long time ago that people who bitch about legibility in watches are dumb.
We do, and I agree with that. I'm not saying this isn't legible, but this, like, everything about this watch just screams Nixon to me.
We're not going to be able to unsee that now.
Not because it's not legible, right? Like, how...
I don't know. I think this is cool, man. I like it. I like it. I saw it and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, and I really like, I'm a sucker, man, but I am all about the ceramicized titanium. Ceramatized?
Circumcised?
Circumcised titanium. I'm about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's kind of cool.
It doesn't do it for me.
Well, fair enough.
The technology's cool.
What's next?
Raymond Weil.
Yeah.
A trio of tuxedo to the Milsim Small Seconds 39. And these are all lovely. We have a white primary on the inner ring with a green hour track. And then just like a little touch of green in the minute track.
Is just a
green?
Little something.
I think it's black. I don't know. The color plays interesting in different lights. I think they say it's black, but it has like green hue to it when I see it. It's black. A dark blue with a black ring and a red grape with a white ring. And I think that's a really good description of the color. It's a little metallic, but it looks like a red seedless grape. And these are really, really well done. We've seen the Millesimis before.
Yeah, time they've come out with a Millesimi, we've said good things about it.
Every time they work. These are $2,295 US dollars. Salida SW261 movement.
Which is just a small second SW200, yep, I think.
39 millimeter case, 10.25 thick. These are just plain old stainless steel. Not oven basted and extra toasty. 50 meters of water resistance. These are really good color combinations for these. I like them.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of these.
The midnight blue is what's like really slapping for me. With that black chapter ring, it like just makes the blue pop in a way that if they had gone blue all the way around, it just wouldn't. And... nails it. Hands are good.
I do think that midnight blue could have pulled off a white chapter ring, but
yeah, I think so. But I think it would have made it less midnight, and it just would have been blue.
These are lumed numerals. Mm-hmm. So instead of the baton markers that we have on the other, these are a decidedly more whimsical play. You know, play. I think these are the same case, same dimensions as the original Millesimis, which is, as we've said on this show, it's a really good size and shape for a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are great. I mean, I think the price on these, the $2,200, it puts them in, there's a lot of competition there, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of watches that you could look at at that price range. But it's not 4,000, it's not 5,000. I mean, they're up there.
Yeah, and this is, I think, the hardest space
for a Salida 200.
Yeah, but this is the hardest place for a watch company to compete, I think, because there's so much happening at that price range that there's, like, you got to really, really like that watch in particular to be competitive.
Yeah.
Because if this is a $1,200 watch, this thing is going gangbusters.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it's $1,200 or even $1,500, I'm like, this thing is.
Yeah.
Bye. No, these are great. All three dials are good. I'm probably partial to the traditional tuxedo, the white dialed.
There's a couple pictures where it looks really green.
I think it is a, they call it cream in some of the marketing materials.
I wonder if that cream and the black are interacting in a way to make the band, like the chapter ring, or not the chapter ring, but the hour ring look green.
I do have one criticism.
Okay.
The font on the subdial is a leave it for me. Both the numeral font and the cursive italic font is, they're both, or I guess the serif italic, both of those are a leave it for me. But everything else I'm really high on. The font of the numerals, of the Arabic numerals, is great. The crown is great on these things. I always forget how good that crown is. This is a really...
I love the clawfoot lugs too.
Yeah. They've done a really good job with this watch.
Sure have. You got something next?
Am I up?
It is your turn.
You did a thing where I started to send watches and then you interrupted me in the middle of my watches. Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Dryden introduced an update to the Chronodiver collection. So the Chronodiver was released, I think, in 2019. It's a VK63 chronograph that I think came out at like $320. And in 2019, I think it was a banger. I think it, I went back and looked at some pictures, and I think today it looks a little dated. I was like, you know what? That watch looks pretty 2019.
The original Chronodiver?
The Chronodiver Volume 1, mm-hmm. Or Version 1.
That's probably why there's a G2.
Jerry has updated that, and I think he hit it out of the park. So three versions of the new Chronodiver 2. These are all... very similar. So VK63 watch, but he's introduced a solid end link and five link bracelet, what I'd call a Jubilee, but what others would call a five link. And has kind of...
I think both of those representations will be accurate.
I think has done a couple things here. One, I think that he has, with the details, become slightly more accurate to the source material that he was going for, sort of that vintage 60s, 70s. This has more accurate vintageness, but I also think it's a slightly newer homage. I think what it's homaging to is slightly newer than the version one. So I think these lean more into that 70s. We've got a bit of tag in there. And especially with the bracelet, gosh, I think these are great. There is a black vintage dial and bezel on silver steel. There is a black vintage on PVD steel. And then there's
also... The PVD is also so, like, gently applied.
It's not a super dark black.
It looks like sooty.
Yeah. It's a really nice... A nice looking PVD. He's recessed the pushers a little bit, so I think it's just a better watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is a much better. There's nothing wrong. The version one of these I think was fine, especially in 2019. I think it was more than fine. It's a really cool watch. This is a way better watch. You can just tell tip to tail.
He's leveraged the last 6 years, 7 years of advancements and his own maturation as a designer and how the industry has moved and updated the watch in a really meaningful way.
The case profile really, I mean, it's where you can really tell. It's just a much more, refined case profile, mm-hmm. With those recessed pushers, and the bezel is much more refined. Everything. The version one was a great watch. This is just a much better watch. Prices have gone up about 25%. So to get into this, I think you're looking at 425,
450,
47, 450 for the Gen 2 Blue Panda and Black Vintage, 475 for the PVD. And they're available now and they're great. These are really good. VK63 on these still. It's not an automatic chronograph, but at that price, you wouldn't expect it to be.
It'd be cool if it was.
Sure. I mean, especially if it was $450.
The alternate loom on the bezel, like the very yellow, almost like nuclear yellow loom color on the bezel with the green on the dial, is a really cool contrast.
Yeah.
I really like this blue. It's like a tropical ocean beach blue on the Blue Panda.
Yeah, it's a great blue. It's the blue dialed version of this is so much better than the Gen 1.
Yeah. You know a lot of names for blue based on your professional paint industry knowledge. What would you call this blue?
Sure. I'd call that Antilles
blue. Blue seems to be the color you know the most about.
Is that right?
You have 100 different names for blue, and then you have like 8 other colors in your vocabulary. Every time we see a blue, you're like, oh, it's this color blue. I'm like, what the fuck? That doesn't make it. Like, you're Grand Seikoing this blue right now. Every other color, it's like really reasonable. But blues, you have a keen eye for.
I'm trying to think of what you might be talking about. And I don't think I've got a ton of blue in me, but maybe.
You have a ton of blue vocabulary words.
All right.
Well. Sometimes I'm pretty sure you're making them up. Oh, yeah, it's royal denim. Like, what the fuck? That's not a color.
This watch is cool.
It is.
And the price is good.
It is. Good work, Jerry.
What's next?
The new Seiko 5 Sports SRPM 09HU F edition. And I don't know anything about the inspiration here. All I can say is that I looked at it and I was just smitten. It's so dumb. It is a bizarro watch. It doesn't make any sense. It's a three-hand watch. So we'll get into it here real quick. This is a Seiko 5 Sport. So it's a 39.4 millimeter case, 48 lug to lug, 11.6 thick, hard lex crystal, 100 meters of water resistance, 4R36 movement.
It's just a Seiko 5 Sports.
It's just a Seiko 5 Sports, right? I didn't even think to look what HUF is, but what I do know is that this dial blew my mind. I initially hated it, and then I started looking at it, and I was just captured by it, as though I was like reading the code in the Matrix. So it's got kind of a surfboard black band with this lime green with all of the date wheel visible underneath, but in a way that's kind of obscured. So it looks like
you can partially see it and partially
you're not. Looking at the code of the Matrix.
Huff is a Bay Area like clothing brand.
Oh, I'm not interested anymore. It's not cool enough for me. But it's cool to have like a sapphire dial that you can just see through and see into the date wheel working underneath, but in a way that you don't immediately recognize it's the day and date wheels. It's this kind of like ghosty, like almost like a mirage beneath the dial. It's neat.
Yeah, I like it. It's a cool. It's good. It's good. It was on our list that last week, and it didn't quite make it. But
it makes sense that it didn't make it, because it's not terribly exciting. It's just interesting, because it's something a little bit different from, like, because it's a collaborative release.
Parallet, who makes watches, oftentimes with, like, wild spinny things on the dial. Parallet released a watch this week that is not wild or spinny. It is Andrew's favorite thing, which is to say it is a stone dial dress watch. What they're calling this is the weekend. They're calling it the weekend, but they've got all the E's. So it's not like the performing artist, the weekend. It's all of the E's, the weekend.
Did you send me a link for this? Oh yeah, I just didn't open it because it's got a stone dial and I didn't care.
Yeah. And you know what, Andrew? I really like it. So what this is a fairly simple, I'm going to call this a sports watch, but it's a dress sport watch, with a 9.56 millimeter profile and 50 meters of water resistance that comes on both sort of green, either green croc or a fantastic four link. It's not a Jubilee style four link. It's all the way across like a IWC bracelet. With a really slender bezel that's pushed all the way out to the side. It comes on with a Soprod P321, which is, you know, Festina's sort of entry-level movement, which I think is quite a bit better than the other movements in that world. And it's $1,600, €1,590, 39 millimeters, 9.56. Even with the Soprod and the malachite dial, this is cheaper than our Millesime from Raymond Weil for a very similar watch. I mean, obviously, we'd a less interesting case in this. The Millesime has that three-part case. This is more of just a traditional.
Yeah, this is kind of a boring case.
Right. But still, we've got probably a comparable, if not a better movement. We've got a thinner case, 9.56, same amount of water resistance, a malachite dial, and a great bracelet. This bracelet is great.
Yeah, it is.
Sort of evocative of neo vintage IWC, I think.
Yeah, I think that captures it.
The only criticism I have about this is that the crown's a little too small. One of my favorite things about the Millesime is how great that crown is. I'm just comparing these two because they both came up in the same week. The other thing that I think date window haters just don't look. If you're a date window hater,
pass on this. Yeah,
just don't look, because it's got a date window and it's in a real weird place. It's in a real. I think because the bezel is so thin, they've got the date window occurring inside. It's not color matched or anything, right? So you just get this white date window inside the 3 o'clock marker, which
is where a date window usually is. I think because of the proportions of the dial, because of how this is an all dial watch.
Well, it usually like cuts off a marker or is in place of a marker. This is all the way inside that fairly long baton marker.
But if this were to have anything other than dial on the face of the watch, it would be where you'd expect it to be.
Yeah. I like this, though.
I think this is a... I don't know where you put a date window on that to make it make sense. Maybe at the 6?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could do a porthole at 6.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I... Maybe the date window is what. I mean, I'm over Stone at this point.
Yeah.
The last 6 months have been.
I'm kind of over Malachite. I've never been a huge Malachite guy. We were talking about the green. What do you call it? The green. What's the blue glass with the stars in it?
Aventurine.
We were talking about the green
Aventurine. The lapis Aventurine. The blue no, one, weren't we?
No, it's green Aventurine is what Nevada used. And it's really, really cool. I'm much, much, for a green stone, I much prefer that to Malachite. I've just never been a huge, no. So the Nevada came in a lapis. They have a lapis. They have a blue Aventurine and a green Aventurine.
Mm, yeah. And I maybe that was the last stone that I was willing to tolerate for the year. Cause I was good with those.
That green Aventurine.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm not. I'm over Stone. I'm over Meteorite. I'm over it. I was excited when they started. Now everyone's done 10 inversions. Let's do something else, please. Oh, I have another one.
You know what I haven't seen in a while? Like a good Winmenstatin Meteorite dial. Do you have one of those?
No. No. I want to talk briefly about the Resence Type 9 IKE with Japanese Meteor d'Art execution. This thing is wild. And Resence does wild stuff anyway, without any kind of collaboration or artistic, like external art input. Most Resence watches, I struggle to understand what it's telling me. Not just what time it is, but like, are you telling me the time?
But you feel like you could read this one?
I feel like I could wear this one. this is cool. So it's a Type 9. It's a 39 millimeter case. It's 11 thick, polished grade 5 titanium that's DLC coated. So this is a Radin Mother of Pearl dial with Urushi lacquer that looks straight out of Tron. It has green and blue and purple and orange and red, and there is no way to tell the time with this watch. I don't tell me whatever you want. You cannot read this watch. You're wearing it because it's cool as shit, and it costs 32,000 Swiss francs.
Yeah,
this is gorgeous. They're only making 8 of them. I'm sure they're already spoken for because they're going to select Resence retailers. This is like a display piece, art installment kind of watch, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, so these are made by Ikeda-san, who is Teramasa Ikeda, who is a Radin and Urushi artist. So I assume that he comes from the fountain pen world, because you see a lot of Radin Urushi fountain pens, right? That's where you go from, like, you know, if you want a fountain pen, you can get a cheap steel fountain pen for 50 to 100 bucks. You want a gold-nibbed fountain pen, you start at like 250. And then, you know, you go between like 250 and $1,000 for a fountain pen, basically. Somewhere in that range. And until you start adding Radin Urushi fountain pens, and then it gets insane almost immediately. I mean, you're looking at, you know, like $2,000 entry level for a craftsman made Radin fountain pen, and they just go up from there, right? So I'm sure this is a person who, because this is the most intricate Radin work I've ever seen in my life.
It's insane.
It's insane. It is insane. The link, the Hodinkee link that we're gonna send out has some like good macro photography of the dial and the sub dial. It is totally freaking nuts. It's totally nuts. This is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's the
as
the,
a watch. I don't know. I mean,
it's there appears to be a hand, and there appears to be numbers.
Yeah,
that is all.
Yeah. I mean, it almost looks. It looks like it's LED, right?
It does.
It looks like it's an LED.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking wild, dude.
Like these things are crazy. You'd expect this dial flashing behind a gamer as he's streaming on Twitch,
right? Or like on the panel of some like sci-fi spaceship.
Yes.
This is really cool. I kind of passed on it because of the price and whatever, but I'm glad you talked about it. I think it was one of the more fun releases this week. One of the more interesting releases.
It's one of the most beautiful dials I've ever seen.
Oh.
Albeit totally not functional.
Well,
I'm sure it works as a watch, but I can't read it.
Yeah. let me see. Do you have one of these on your list? There's two watches that I want to talk about. It makes sense to talk about them together, but you don't have either one of them. Zen.
Mm.
Helmet. Zen has released a 903, which if you don't know, the Zen 903 is Zen's licensed...
It's the Navitimer.
Breitling Navitimer. They released a 65th anniversary of the 903 in titanium. And they call this the 903 Ti 2. The reason it's Ti 2 is because for their 30th anniversary, or perhaps their 35th anniversary, they released a titanium 903, which now we're in their 60th anniversary. So I guess that is what? 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they released this watch. So early 2000s. Here we are. Oh, no, 30 years ago. So 1996. Is that right? So here for their 65th anniversary, 903 Titanium 2. This is a full titanium 903 with their great Zen 903 bracelet that has this fantastic sort of... The color of this dial is the color of a glacier, not the top part of the glacier, but you know when the glacier starts to melt and you get that permafrost?
You know how we were earlier talking about your blue vocabulary?
This is deep glacier blue.
I don't know if that was on purpose or if you realized it was happening while it was happening.
No, it was very much on purpose. Okay. It's very much on purpose.
It really is, though. It's that bright, like right after that, you get a nice sheer.
Yes. Yes. It's like permafrost, deep glacier blue. It's a great color. And grade 5 titanium. Excuse me. Grade 5 titanium case, grade 5 titanium bracelet. Comes with a shell cordovan strap. Zen 903. $4,950.
Yeah, this is what
I might get this, Andrew.
I every time I see the 903, like I love the Navitimer. I really want a Navitimer. Every time I see a 903, I'm like, yeah, but I want that. I think that's what I actually want.
Me too. And this is half the price of a new Navitimer.
It's half the price of a used Navitimer.
And it's grade 5 titanium on grade 5 titanium.
This is really like a really cool anniversary release.
Silver bezel on this, inner rotating bezel. It's I think got a lot of polish on it. You do have some brushing on the case flanks, and you also have the middle two links of the five link are brushed. But you have a lot of
polish. I almost feel like this might thing. Be too much polish.
It is a blingy blingy titanium watch.
For what it is, I feel like it might be a little too much polish.
I'm a huge fan.
They also released two new colors for their straight regular 903. They're non-titanium.
Right. That's right. A good green. I'm going to say a good green. It's sort of a British racing green.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, Andrew, I don't know what you think about this, but a good sort of like sunburst anthracite.
Yeah, kind of charcoal-y. I actually really like that.
The British Racing Green kind of kind of slaps though, man.
With on that shell, yeah. That brown shell. Yeah.
It's like Sunray or Sunburst.
I wonder, are these of, because one the problem that I've had with Zen really since the beginning is that you can never get them.
I think you can get these.
They never
look, have. I think they're Lumicast numerals on that titanium too.
Oh, they look like it, yeah.
Dude, that is such a fucking rad.
They just
watch.
Never have inventory.
I think it's Lumicast on all three of these.
On their website. Because I've been really close to pulling the trigger on Zins before. And it's like, oh, out of stock. And their website sucks. They did a big upgrade, but it still sucks.
Well, I mean, you would just go to Watch Buys. You wouldn't buy a Zen on. So this is limited to 500 pieces. You can reserve it now. What does it say? It says how to reserve. Watch Buys direct price $1,500 deposit, non-refundable. And then the remaining balance at 344 will be 3,440 will be due once your watch is completed. So
when do they anticipate delivery?
I don't know that this says. I don't think it says, Andrew.
It's got to be in the next 3 months.
It's got to be. Yeah, you'd think it would be pretty quick. Yeah, dude, these are great. 4260 for the green on a strap, 4600 for both the green and the gray, 4260 on the strap, 4680 on a bracelet. And then with the black, it comes on like a black nylon two piece. Yeah. Anyway, there's one more. Let me do it.
Yeah,
let me. I'll just rip through it. So another watch that came out in titanium this week that I was kind of like, I kind of had a double take because I was like, what even is this? So Tutema, Saxon Glashütte brand Tutema released a titanium Patria 6612 this week, and you know, I was like, have I ever considered a titanium Patria in my life? The answer is no.
Should I have though? Yes.
Should I have? Yes. So 6612 is the new Patria format. And these are sort of Tutema's, you know, flagship. I think this is their flagship sport dress watch.
I mean, they're dropping it in titanium, so clearly that's where they're putting their money.
They've sort of made this a more elegant, more refined watch, and I think they're great. They've got this big sort of go fuck yourself onion crown that has
a 9-inch crown guard
that's got these big sharp pointy crown guards, and unlike the old Patrias, they're not giant. They're 41 millimeters versus I think the old ones were like 46 or 45 or something like that. So still 11-2 thick with 50 meters of water resistance, so it's not a dainty watch, but I don't think it's really trying to be a dainty. It's not really trying to be a dainty watch.
No, it's trying to be a go fuck yourself watch.
I think so. Yeah. And in full titanium, €8,600, which is, you know, this is Glashütte money, right? You're going to pay for Glashütte watches. Tutema, one of the old Tutema or Glashütte companies. This has fantastic casework. It's sort of got a rose gold plate on this manual case with a beautiful rose gold escapement, and the gear train is visible in like a contrasting silver. I don't actually know enough about movements to know what all is going on here, but what I do know is I like it. I like it. Great sort of hobnail. I think that's hobnail. Is that what we call hobnail? Or maybe it's like a CNC grid, diamond grid. Dial. We've got, they appear from a distance to be sort of just stick markers, but then you get up close and the markers are actually these really refined batons mm-hmm. that have a great like chamfer on all four, you know, on the two ends and on the four sides that lead up to this line, this gable line that goes across. Fantastic handset on these. The finishing on the subdial is like you get up to on a macro and you're like, ooh, I love this watch.
Yeah, this is.
And it's in fucking titanium, which I don't know why, but I'm like, that is so baller. That's so baller.
It's like they didn't want to go all the way with platinum or something like that. Or what was that stupid metal we talked about a few weeks ago?
Tantalum.
Tantalum. Yeah. They didn't want to get dumb. They're like, titanium's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll make this watch just disappear.
This is, of course, a in-house movement. That I just think this is so cool, man.
It's because it is. You think right. You have chosen wisely. You've
chosen wisely. I saw this thing and I was like, wait, what?
Why do you work?
What? Those crown guards are stupid.
Oh, they're fucking dumb.
Amazing crown guards that I want.
They look like a crab claw.
Yeah, a little bit. Like they're just grabbing an onion.
They're just huge.
Yeah. I really love this. I just think this is a very beautiful watch.
The size of the crown makes me think that it's going to come out like a full inch. And you're just going to see like drywall screw size threads on the thing.
Or maybe it's on like a maybe it's on like an elastic string. Yes. I really like that. And I like that the subdial, so the subdial goes all the way from the outer minute track to damn near the pinion. The subdial takes up like I mean, it's like probably 45% of that southern radius on the dial.
It's huge.
Or excuse me, 90% of that southern radius.
And I think it's... It doesn't matter.
I think this is a really
the amount cool of space watch. They've left between the subdial and the minute track is really appropriate. The amount of space they've left between the top of it and the pinion really is... Everything is just well thought out.
You know,
so well executed.
The only thing I don't know off the top of my head, and the article is mum on it, I don't know what the Z dimension.
Oh, it looks to be 12 and a half, maybe 13. It looks thick.
I don't think it is that. I don't think it is that thick.
It looks thick.
Let's see. Because I think it's just...
Oh, nope. This one says 11.2.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think I did read that. Yeah. This is a really cool watch, man. So...
It's a winner.
That's all I have to say about that.
All right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Where are we at?
We are at 54 minutes and 9, 10, 11 seconds.
I don't really care about any of the other things that...
Well, let me see. I don't think I have gotten through my list. Orient Stretto and a bunch of new colors. I know when the Stretto came out, we talked about it. I'm not sure how much we've talked about it. I really like it. And they released it in a bunch of like...
Easter colors.
They're not... I wouldn't call these Easter colors. They're not pastel. They're like jewel tone... Like very bright jewel. Anyway.
These are the color of Easter eggs. When you buy the 50 pack of Easter eggs at the Walmart, these are the colors that it comes in.
Only if your mom uses too much of the mix and not enough vinegar.
No, I don't dye eggs.
The Fairer has released three new colors, or no, excuse me, two new colors of their World Timer in two new finishes, one new dial color, but two new finishes. So they've continued the green world timer and the blue one. But with the green one, they've added a gold PVD case, and they've also added a maroon that comes in both silver and gold PVD. And
I want Farrer to use more colors again. Their monochromatic is just, it's not.
And that's everything.
It's not scratching my itches.
I think we're through.
Yeah, we're done.
I think we're through. Andrew, other things?
Ooh, I have another thing. I was scrolling through movie titles the other night, just trying to decide what to watch. And I saw a tile that was Jesse Plemons' face. And I was like, I don't even give a shit what the movie is. If it's Jesse Plemons, it's going to be good. And I'm in. I'm fully in.
I'm in, you son of a bitch.
And I read the like little blurb on it. And it's like, two men kidnap and suspect the CEO of being an alien. I was like, well, let's see. Okay. We'll see how this goes. But it's Jesse Plemons, so I have faith. This movie, Begonia, is wild. So this is a 2025 movie. It is directed by a fella named Yorgos Lanthimos, maybe. It is a remake of a 2003 South Korean movie, Save the Green Planet. So when I was watching this movie, I texted the guys. I was like, dude, this movie is like Tarantino, but Korean. And this is before I read anything about the background of this movie. So now knowing that it's a remake of a Korean movie, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Because there's like, if you're at all familiar with Korean cinema, it has like a feel to it that's
right,
really unique to Korean filmmaking. Nobody else does it, and I don't know exactly why. So the whole premise of this movie is that Jesse Plemons and his cousin they're a little out there, and they believe that the demise of the bees is due to an alien invasion, and they believe that this CEO, played by Emma Stone, is an alien, and they kidnap her and then go from there. I don't want to spoil anything. This movie, the reason I say it's like Tarantino-esque is because this movie is like, it occurs in a really small space. It's just confined the whole time. Like you think about The Hateful Eight, that occurs like on a set the size of, you know, it's 25 by 25. You're in a
small market.
You're just there the whole time. And not The Hateful Eight. Yeah, The Hateful Eight. Yeah. That's the one in the little farmhouse. But this movie occurs like in this really small confined space. And the whole time it's just a mind fuck. You're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And like, you're never really sure. Like nobody ever is the hero. Nobody's ever the villain. Like you're just along for this really bizarre ride. It takes you in. You don't pick up your phone. You don't feel the need to second screen. You're just engrossed. I absolutely loved it. The director, I already said his name and I messed
Yorgos.
Up. Yes, Yorgos has done other Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone movies. He did the silent film with her. Not the silent film, the black and white, Poor Things.
The Quiet Place.
He did not do The Quiet Place.
With Emma Stone.
Yeah. That's a different person. Looks similar-ish. He's got a fairly modest feature film link.
He's the hot ticket now because this movie has just been wildly popular.
It blew my mind. Jesse Plemons was great. Emma Stone was great. It's the kind of movie that when it was over, I thought about watching it again.
Like, let's just run it back.
Yeah.
Run it back.
Like, what did I miss? What did I not see?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was very good.
Andrew, I've got another thing.
Do me.
I bought, so I have been in the market for probably about 2 years, give or take, for a Sous Vide,
yep,
an immersion cooker. And Andrew, my friend Andrew, popped into our group chat the other day and said, hey, if you've been on the fence, Anova's doing a huge sale on their stuff and you should... I mean, is this is accurate, right?
No, I'm just looking at the picture you sent me.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, sorry.
And he said, this is a good deal. You should get this. And so I did. I bought a sous vide and a Anova. And I bought the good one. I don't know what it is.
The big one, the pro.
The pro. And the reason I did that is because they were like...
They're still 50% off. So if you are in the market, now is the time.
So I got the pro, the big one. But that's not my other thing for the week. My other thing for the week is the thing I got with it. Because in order to sous vide, you don't need... But
it's helpful.
It's helpful to have a vacuum sealer. And so I have one. I one time used Andrew's vacuum sealer. Andrew,
you did?
Bought a vacuum sealer off of Amazon.
No, I went to the Bi-Mart,
which is basically Amazon, but local,
but warehouse.
Andrew bought. He probably paid $27.50 for it, if yeah, that.
At most, I've spent more on vac bags.
I will tell you, I'm sure it works. But it fucking sucks. I think if you have sealed like 70 things, you know the right place to put the things and the right thing to pinch and the right place to sort of squeeze when you're shutting it. I had a really hard time using Andrew's vacuum sealer. Andrew doesn't have that problem because it's his vacuum sealer and he knows it intimately.
I use it a lot.
He knows, and when I mean intimately, I mean...
You won't believe the things I've vac sealed.
Intimately. So I because I was getting this great deal on an Anova sous vide, I bought an Anova, their Precision Vacuum Sealer Pro. Now, admittedly, I probably do not need a vacuum sealer this nice.
But you won't ever regret having it.
But I will tell you, I got this thing in and it is, so it's expensive. Like, this is $155 on this thing, which I think it's not, like, expensive in the grand scheme of things. But for this tool, for me, I thought, well, that's a lot of money for a vacuum sealer. But the second I started using it, I was like, I am so glad that I never have to touch Andrew's $18.99 vacuum sealer ever again. It is amazing.
So you spool it out.
You seal it out. Seal it.
Spin it.
Put your thing in it. Seal it again. It does. It's got a couple of features which make it really, really cool. One of them is it's got like a preset for both dry and wet sealing. Wet sealing can be difficult because it doesn't really know when to stop because the liquid. And so
it keeps, yeah.
So this is able to, if you're doing wet sealing, alternatively, if you don't want to lose a bunch of moisture or over squeeze a wet item, it's got this pulse function where you can pulse the vacuum manually with your finger. You get it close and then you pulse, 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 and it just pulls out what you need. It gets a perfect seal. It's fast and you can go immediately. After you seal, you can flip and immediately start sealing again, and it does a perfect job. With other vacuum sealers, you have to wait anywhere from a minute and a half to 3 minutes. This, you stop one, you turn it, you can immediately start. It's fast. It's quiet. It does all the... You know how sometimes with things like this, the buttons don't... Like the feedback you get from the buttons isn't exactly what you'd expect. Like there's like a disconnect.
Like a mushy button.
Not just tactile, but also that. But like also just like the response of the machine. Sometimes like there's like a delay or whatever. Like all the electronics are just...
Immediate response. It does what you want. I'm telling you, Andrew, you don't want to use it. If you don't want to buy one, don't use it. Because the second you use mine, you're going to be like, I'm never going to use that shitty buy
mine. I'm in the window to buy a new one because mine is like, it's starting to do its little, like it's sputtering.
Yeah.
It's starting to go. But because I have it and it does the thing that I need it to do.
Right.
It's silly to just buy a new one. The whole reason I got a new sous vide was because my display crapped out.
Yeah.
Right before I needed it. Like I was heating the water bath and the display stopped displaying.
Boo.
My vote of confidence for Anova was that I didn't even consider another brand. I just went to the Anova website and was like, oh, everything's 50% off.
Yeah.
What a win.
That's pretty great. And so I did get the pro sous vide. And then I also got that. I feel like I'm set up.
At 50% off, you just get the pro. The difference between the pro and
it's
the
like $20.
The regular is it's like $20. And the actual technical difference is just the heating element and the circulating tool. Like the pro can handle, I think, up to like 26 gallons of water in as a circulator. And the
26 gallons?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's like a bathtub.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
It can handle a bucket load. You may never reach that.
That's a big bucket.
Yeah, guys. A very big bucket. You may never need that capacity. But the difference between a 5, 8, and 10 gallon capacity, you know, having that ability is really nice to not.
You could sous vide a whole damn turkey if you wanted.
Yeah, you could do that in a 10 gallon kettle.
Yeah, jeez, I'm a sous vide man, guys.
I've never done a bird.
He's contemplating and rubbing his crotch.
You won't be able to vac seal a turkey. I don't think either of us have the capacity, like the capability to be able to vac seal a turkey.
Maybe mine would do it with the little hose attachment.
Maybe.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website. It's watchclicker.com. It's where we post articles and reviews. You can also follow us on social media on Instagram at 40and20_WatchClicker or at WatchClicker. That's where we post pictures and occasional things about what we're doing on the website or on the show. If you want to support us, and oh boy, we hope you do. We got one new supporter last week. We actually are getting tight on funds, folks. So you can support us at patreon.com/40and20. That is how we get all the support for this show. Besides all the money Jerry from Dryden gives us. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to tune back in next Tuesday for another hour of Watches, Food, Drinks, Life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.